Well, good morning. This is like being among friends. You know, I'm not normally used to speaking to this large of a crowd, and I was just sitting up there and I was looking at all the familiar faces, and I thought, I'm just speaking among friends today. And I just feel like I'm at home. And so it is a blessing and an honor to be here this morning. I want to thank Brother Rocky for having me to come and speak to y'all this morning. He is one of my heroes in the faith, and so is Bob Cavan, and so is Gilbert, and everyone that's on this staff. They are heroes to me, and I just want to thank y'all for having me come. I want to thank Sam for having me come and be a part of such a special weekend among these young adults. Their first disciple now. I felt so honored when I got the call to be a part of what God is doing here right at Mimosa Lane Baptist Church. And so I just want to just thank y'all. Thank y'all for a great weekend. Y'all have been a great, great group. And so I brought my beautiful wife with me.
Amen.
Yes. I knew I'd get in trouble. But I brought my beautiful wife with me. She is usually singing in the choir, and she asked off this morning, and so I'm honored to have her with me. She doesn't get to travel with me as much as I'd like for her to, but I'm just so glad for her to be here. Since I've left, I am a part of I Am Second, and I don't know if y'all know what that ministry is. It's a movement among the young people, really, and God is really using that ministry. And I'm going to be going into high schools, developing small groups where we look at the Bible and we ask questions on how God can speak to them right where they're at. And it's also a tool where they can bring their lost friends to come to know about the Lord Jesus Christ. And so I'm honored to be a part of that ministry that's just happened back in March. And God is just really opening doors. He's just blown me away on what He's done so far. And I just count it an honor to be back home with y'all this morning. And before I get started, I just want for us just to go to the Lord in prayer. And would you just ask the Lord, would you just prepare my heart, Lord, and ask Him to reveal Himself to you, whatever you're going through. The title of my message this morning is called The Cry of Desperation. And I know that y'all just had that title back during the last series. And I contacted Rocky, and I said, Rocky, the title of my message is the same title. I just looked on the website, and he said, don't worry about it. But it's a different passage of Scripture. And so, but that's what I want to talk to you this morning. Before we pray, I just want to say, you know, adversity is a fact of life. We can't escape it. And, you know, as though adversity is a fact of life, you know, we can't control it. The only thing that we can control is how we respond to it. And as you have the living hope with inside of you, which is the Lord Jesus Christ, the Bible says that I can do all things through Christ who gives me strength. In other words, I can endure all things through Christ. And it is an honor to be sitting here before you this morning, sitting in a wheelchair, because I know that I have the living hope living with inside me. Amen. And I am spiritually whole. I don't have to be spiritually crippled anymore. Even though that I'm physically disabled, God has made me spiritually whole. And He can do that in your life this morning. Would you go to the Lord in prayer with me? Heavenly Father, we come before You and we just give You the praise and the glory. And Father, I pray now that as we open up Your word, as we learn about blind Bartimaeus, Father, I pray that You would speak to our hearts. Father, there may be some here this morning that have never given their life to You. And Father, I pray within these next few minutes that You would reach down and You would touch their life. Father, there may be some here this morning that are just going through the valley. Father, would You reveal Yourself to them, knowing that, to let them know, Father, that You are I Am. And Father, I just pray right now that You just place Your hand upon me and You would speak through me. For it's in Your precious holy name that I pray. Amen. Back on March 16th, in 1971, There was a father who was waiting in a Galveston County hospital waiting room. He was sitting there waiting for the announcement of his baby boy to be born. He had a 3.5-year-old daughter, healthy daughter, and he couldn't wait for the doctors to come out of that operating room to announce to him, "You are now the father of a healthy baby son." As hours went by, the father began to worry why it was taking so long. And then all of a sudden, a doctor walked out of the operating room. With sweat rolling down his face and with a distraught look upon him, his countenance, the father knew that it was not good. As the doctor went up to the father, he said, "Sir, your son has been born, but he's been born with a birth defect called spina bifida." This 32-year-old father had no clue on what spina bifida was, but he was about to begin to learn of what spina bifida was going to do to his son. The doctor told the father, "Your son's back is split open, and we've got two choices to make. We can either go in and we can sew his back up, or we can let him lie there, and he will eventually die due to meningitis that will sit in his back." And the doctor looked at the father and said, "I would not blame you, sir, if you chose option number two, because we don't know what the future is going to hold for your son. You see, your son is paralyzed, as we can tell from the knees down. His bladder has shut down, and there is fluid going on top of his brain, and we're going to have to put a shunt in." And the father looked into the eyes of that doctor. Not faith in that doctor, but faith in a God that does not make mistakes. A God that still does miracles. And he looked into the eyes of that doctor and he said, "You go in and you save my son. That baby boy was me." You see, my dad believed that God did not make mistakes. That there was a reason for me to be born with this birth defect called spina bifida. And he couldn't understand it all and why God would allow that to happen. And there are some things that we go through in life that we will never know the answer. But know this, is that God is good. God is sovereign. And it doesn't matter what the outcome will be as long as you're in the palm of the Heavenly Father's hand. Because he loves you this morning. And no matter what you're going through this morning, God is good. He is good all the time. And God loves you. You see, from that very moment on March 16th, to the age of 12, I had 19 to 20 several operations from head to toe. I realized for the very first time as I went into elementary school that I was different from everybody else. How? By how my peers would treat me. My peers would come up to me and take my crutches, because back then I walked on crutches. They would take my crutches and they would beat me over my back. And then they would take my crutch and they would hang it in a tree. And they would start to taunt me as they circled around me, saying, "Come on, crippled. Let's see you get it now. What's your problem?" I grew up with a lot of anger. A lot of anger and a lot of questions like, "God, why have you allowed this to happen to me?" And it wasn't until the age of 20 that God answered that question. And God spoke to my heart and he said, "Lance, every one of us has a cross to carry. And your cross is custom made to your character and to your faith. And I'm going to use you one day. You may not be able to see it now, but you need to trust me." And that was at the age of 20. But it took me going through a long journey to get to that point. When I got into junior high and high school, I wanted to be accepted so bad. I just wanted to be loved. I didn't know really if God really loved me. Because you see, my father, even though my father asked them to save my life, and he was a man of God. Don't misread me what I'm about to say. My dad is my hero today. But my dad did not know how to handle my disability. You see, my dad would take it out on me verbally. And I grew up thinking that my father hated me. And I thought, if my father, earthly father, doesn't accept me, how does my heavenly father think of me? Well, he loved me. Will He accept me? And so I went on a journey of searching for the life and for significance to life. And when I got into high school, I started drinking, and after high school, and drinking became my God. And it was at the age of 20 when I came into my father's house. My father was sitting in the recliner, and I had so much anger in my heart. And I looked at my father, and I pointed to him, and I said, "I hate you. I hate you." And I said, "In fact, I'm going to end my life, and I'm going to do it in front of you." My father never said a word. He didn't have to. As tears swelled up in his eyes, I realized for the very first time that my father had loved me all along, but he didn't know how to show it. And from that very moment on to several weeks later, God started working in my heart. And I was at Safemont Baptist Church in Houston, Texas, and Bailey Smith was preaching a revival there. I was sitting in that congregation that night, and Bailey Smith looked out right at me, and he said, "You are either living for the Lord Jesus Christ, or you're living a lie." You see, I was real good at make-believe. I grew up in the church. I was baptized at the age of 8, but all I did was get wet. And there's a lot of people in our churches today that are sitting in our congregation and thinking, "Well, I got baptized at a certain age, but there's never been a real transformation in your life." Amen. And all you did was you just got wet. Amen. You know, I knew a lot about God, but I didn't know Him. Job says, "My ears have heard of you, but now my eyes have seen you." And I'm not asking you here today, do you know about God? I'm asking you, do you know Him as Lord and Savior? And God spoke to my heart that night, and He said, "Lance, your problem is not your disability. Your problem is not how people view you or your dad. Your problem is that you've got a God-shaped void, and you've been trying to fill it with everything in this world. And it's not until you accept my Son, Jesus Christ, as He steps out of heaven and comes and fills that void. And if you don't do that, you will never know what the peace that I have for you and the life more abundantly that I want to give you even today." And that day I decided that I would no longer go back to the way things were. I was going to, all old things have passed away. I decided that moment on that I was going to live for the Lord Jesus Christ, and He has made all things new. He has changed my view of my disability. He's allowed me to look at my disability through the lens of His eyes. That I am loved. That I am accepted. And it doesn't matter what man thinks of me. It only matters if I live my life for an audience of one, which is the Lord Jesus Christ. And that's what He wants to do in your life this morning. If you have your Bible with you, I want to talk to you about another man where Christ met him at his cry of desperation. It is the life of Bartimaeus. Bartimaeus was blind physically, and Bartimaeus was crying out for desperation. He was crying out for the significance of life. He was asking questions like, "Who is God? What does He want from me?" You see, I have a lot of students that will ask me, "What does God want from me?" He wants all of you. He doesn't want just part of you. He wants everything of you. He loves you. And in Mark chapter 10 and verse 46... it says, "Then they," talking about Jesus and His disciples, "came to Jericho. And as He was leaving Jericho with His disciples and a large crowd, a blind beggar named Bartimaeus, the son of Timaeus, was sitting by the road. When he heard that it was Jesus the Nazarene, he began to cry out and say, 'Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me.' Many were sternly telling him to be quiet, but he kept crying out all the more, 'Son of David, have mercy on me.' And Jesus stopped and said, 'Call him here.' So Throwing aside his cloak, he jumped up and he came to Jesus. And answering him, Jesus said, "What do you want me to do for you?" And the blind man said to him, "Rabbi, I want to regain my sight." And Jesus said to him, "Go, your faith has made you well." Immediately, Bartimaeus regained his sight and began following Jesus on the road. Bartimaeus had learned to use his senses to get from one place to the next. He was an expert on noises and where it came from. And on this one particular day, what Bartimaeus thought was just going to be just a typical ordinary day became a day of the divine appointment with the Son of the living God that would step into Bartimaeus' life and change his life forever. Bartimaeus had heard a lot of people pass by in his lifetime. But there was something about that voice, about that man that was called Jesus, the Nazarene. There was power in that voice. There was life in that voice of this man named Jesus Christ. And Bartimaeus, as he heard the conversation pass by, he knew that that was what he had been searching for. He had been searching for that kind of love, for that kind of peace. And as he cried out, he said, "Son of David, have mercy on me." You see, Bartimaeus had cried out a lot in his lifetime, but he was crying out for people to meet his physical needs. But this time, he was crying out for Jesus Christ to not only meet his physical need, but to meet his spiritual need. It is more important that God meets you at your spiritual need than a physical need this morning. Amen. Because it is better to be physically disabled than to be spiritually crippled. Amen. And there is a difference between praying and crying out from the depths of your heart. Because when you cry out from the depths of your heart, you're taking your hands off your life and saying, "God, I can't do it anymore. I need your love. I need your peace. I need your salvation." But there's a lot of people, even sitting in our churches, that are crying out, but they're not crying out to Jesus. They're sitting in our pews, still crying out to this world. They're crying out to drugs. They're crying out to alcohol. They're crying out to pornography. And it's leaving them hopeless. It's leaving them lifeless. And they're walking out of our churches just like the way they came in. And God today wants you to walk out of here completely different than the way you came in here. He wants to meet you at your need. I once heard from an unknown author that in the dark, follow the sun. Follow the S-O-N. You see, the point is that we all in this lifetime have cried out in desperation. But who are you crying out to this morning? You see, you may be here this morning and you have cried out for Christ to meet you at your need. You may have cried out for God to reveal himself to you. You may be sitting here this morning, checking out this church, checking out Christianity. Call out to him and see that he won't meet you at your need. There's some here this morning where you have cried out for God to heal your marriages. Just last week at a youth rally, as I was preaching at, God restored a marriage days away from filing a divorce and a youth rally. That tells me that God will do whatever he wants and whatever he desires. The point is that we all at one time or another have cried out in desperation. As I look to the Word, as I look into the Bible, I see great men of the faith who cried out in desperation. I'm reminded of David in Psalms 86, where he says, "In the day of my trouble, I will call upon you." And then in 1 Samuel, it says, in 1 Samuel 12, 28, It says, your fathers have cried out to the Lord. And you may be sitting here this morning, and you, if you were to be honest, you would say, Lance, I have cried out to God. But where is He? I don't feel Him. I don't hear His voice. And let me tell you that I've been exactly where you are. And I've also learned in the Christian life that Christianity is not about feelings. It's about living your faith out. Because if you are basing your faith, if you're basing your Christian experience on feelings, it will always let you down. But Christ will never let you down as you cry out to Him in desperation. And I've realized that sometimes in the silence of our trials, that is where you will experience God's unfailing grace moving through your life. My mother used to quote a scripture to me growing up, found in Psalm, where it says, weeping may last for a night, but joy comes in the morning. Amen. And even though that it is daylight outside, it may be the midnight hour in your life this morning. And I would encourage you to cry out. Cry out to the Lord Jesus Christ and see that He won't meet you at your need. There was a man who walked into a Nazi prison camp. He was touring through. And when he walked into one of the Nazi prison, one of the cells, scratched upon one of the walls was this. It said, I believe in the sun, even when it doesn't shine. I believe in love, even when it's not expressed. And I believe in God, even when He is silent. Is He silent in your life this morning? Cry out to Him. And see that He won't speak to you in that small, still voice called the Holy Spirit this morning. There's a poem that says, though time may be tough and the road real rough, just believe. Though you've cried many tears and you've waited many years, just believe. Recall what He has spoken and believe what He has written. And let your soul just say, I believe. That is what Bartimaeus did. He came to a point in his life where he said, I choose to believe in this man that's called Jesus Christ. And there are three life principles that I want to point out to you in this passage of Scripture that changed Bartimaeus' life, that can change your life where you are right now, wherever you are in your Christian journey. The first life principle is found in verse 47. And that first life principle is that even though Bartimaeus was blind physically, he could sense that he was in the presence of Jesus spiritually. Look with me at verse 47. It says, when he heard that it was Jesus the Nazarene, he began to cry out and say, Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me. I believe that day that Bartimaeus was the only one that wanted a real change in his life. The other people that were surrounding Jesus that day, they were just going through the motions. If they realized who was really in their midst, they would have brought this blind man without Jesus even asking them to. And Christ is asking us today to realize that we are in the presence of Jesus no matter where we go. You don't have to be sitting in a church service to be in the presence of Jesus. As you walk out these doors and you go throughout your day, you're in the presence of Jesus Christ. And Bartimaeus wanted a real change in his life. And Christ is asking us this morning to look into our lives and spot out the places where we have become spiritually crippled and say, God, I need you in this area. I need you to speak to me because you're in the presence of a holy God this morning. The second life principle that I see in this passage of Scripture, not only was Bartimaeus blind physically, but he could sense that he was in the presence of Jesus spiritually. But the second life principle is that when Bartimaeus arose to meet Christ that day, he left his security behind. Look with me at verse 50. It says, throwing aside his cloak, he jumped up and he came to Jesus. And you're thinking, how can a cloak become a security? Bartimaeus had learned his whole lifetime as being a blind man to take that cloak day after day and throw it out so that when people would pass by, there would be enough people that would have enough compassion to throw enough alms into that cloak where he would make it to the very next day. But what Bartimaeus was doing was that he was placing his security in man only. Now, when Bartimaeus took that cloak and he threw it aside, he was making a statement. And that statement was, is that I am no longer going back to my old lifestyle. I have found a new security, and it's in the Lord Jesus Christ. And Christ is asking us this morning, what is your security blanket? What is your cloak this morning that you keep holding on to because it feels good? It feels secure. And Christ is asking you this morning, he's asking every one of us to take that cloak and throw it aside. Because Bartimaeus was making a statement not only in front of Christ, but in front of all of the people that knew Bartimaeus, that had seen him day after day, just saying, hey, I'm different. I'm not only different because now I can see, but I'm different because now I can see spiritually, and I am now a child of the living God. You see, when Christ gets a hold of your heart, all you want to do is throw everything aside that keeps you from coming to the throne room, to the feet of the Lord Jesus Christ. Just a couple of years ago, it's while we were still here, I had a nursing home ministry in Garland. In this retirement home, I went and preached my first service there. And after the service, the director of the facility came up to me and she said, there's a man by the name of Joe that I want you to meet. She said, he's in room 101. And she said, I would like for you to go in there and just introduce yourself. So I went in there and I saw Joe, and I knew Joe was old. I just didn't know how old he was. And I looked at Joe and I said, Joe, my name is Lance. And I said, I'm the pastor here at this retirement home. And I just want to invite you next week to our service. He looked at me and he said, they haven't told you much about me, have they? I said, no, but I'm beginning to think I'm going to find out. He looked at me and he said, I am a 103-year-old atheist. And you can take your Jesus and you can take that wheelchair and turn around and take off. And don't you ever, ever bring Jesus back in here again. I had to think very quickly. What did Jesus do when he ministered to people? He didn't shove religion down their throat. He didn't shove himself down their throat. What he did was that he met their physical need. He ministered to them. And then he brought in the spiritual aspect of it, of who he was. And when I sat there, when he said that to me, my initial thought was shock. And I'm thinking, Lord, give me the words to say. And I looked at Joe and I said, Joe, I respect that. You don't believe in Christ. I believe in God. You don't. I'm going to heaven, you're going to hell. I didn't say that at that time. Wrong time. And I said, Joe, I said, would you do me a favor? I said, I just want to get to know you. I think you've lived 103 years of life for a reason. And I believe that there's some things that you can teach me. And I said, I promise you, I won't mention the name of Jesus. I just want to come get to know you. He looked at me and he said, you're not a TV evangelist, are you? I said, no, I promise. He looked at me and he said, okay, I'll see you next week. For 1 year, I built a relationship with this man named Joe. On the very first time that we met, he wanted to know what I knew about Jesus Christ. I said, Joe, I thought you told me you didn't want me to talk to you about Jesus. He said, I know what I told you, but I want to know what you know. So I began to tell Joe about my testimony and how I was at a dead end where I was going to take my life. And Christ stepped in and he rescued me. And I said, Joe, today's the day of salvation. God loves you. And I looked at him and I thought that he was just about to give his life to Jesus Christ. And he looked at me and he said, I don't need your Jesus, but I'll see you next week. For 1 year, week after week, Joe would say no. And I realized that Joe was not saying no to me. He was rejecting Jesus Christ. He was saying no to the Lord. 1 year later, as I went in on one of my visits with him, I was just about to get to his door and somebody stopped me and said, Joe's not here. I said, well, where's Joe? And they said, Joe died a couple of days ago of a sudden heart attack and he went quickly. I feel like somebody just took a fist and just punched me right into the stomach. Because I loved this man. I loved this man like he was my own grandfather. And I got into my car and I started going down Centerville and this thought came to me. Joe lived 103 years of life, now 104, to say yes to Christ. And if he didn't call out to the Lord Jesus Christ and say, Son of God, have mercy on me. The reality is now that he is sitting in the pits of hell, crying out in desperation. And Christ is standing there and he steps back and he says, I can't. So good to you that I gave you 104 years of life to say yes to me. And you told me no. And you told me no too many times that it was time to go. You see, R.L. Stevenson says that sooner or later, we all sit at the banquet table of consequences. And because of Joe was not willing to lay aside his security, he is now paying the consequences of his choice. And Christ is wanting to ask you this morning, what are you going to lay down at the foot of the cross that's keeping you from seeing who he really is? From knowing about him to knowing him. As we close this morning, I said there are three life principles. The first one is that even though Bartimaeus was blind physically, he could sense that he was in the presence of Jesus spiritually. And when Bartimaeus arose to meet Christ that day, he left his security behind. But the third life principle found in verse 50 is that throwing aside his cloak. Oh, I'm sorry. When he threw aside his cloak, Jesus asked him a life-changing question. And that life-changing question was, what do you want me to do for you? It's found in verse 51. What do you want me to do for you? Now, have you ever wondered why Christ would ask such an obvious question? I'm thinking back, if I was in those times and I'm in my wheelchair and Christ comes up to me and says, well, what do you want me to do for you? I'm thinking, well, isn't it obvious? But I believe that Christ asked that question for a reason. And that reason is that because Bartimaeus had learned his whole lifetime to articulate his need, not to God, but to man. And now it was time for Bartimaeus to articulate his need to one person that could give him what he'd been searching for, and that is the Lord Jesus Christ. And this morning, just like 2,000 years ago, when Christ asked Bartimaeus that question, what do you want me to do for you? The good news this morning is that he's asking that very same question. Amen. As he moves along this congregation, and as he comes to you face to face, you see, God is not a distant God. God is interested even in the small details of your life. That's how much he loves you. And this morning, as we go right into a time to make a decision of what God is calling us to do, Christ is going to ask you that question, what do you want me to do for you? And for some here this morning, you need salvation. You realize that you are lost and you need Christ to step out of heaven and come and live in your life. To become a Christian means you do two things. Number one is you must repent. Repentance is like going down the road and you realize you're going the wrong way. You've got to turn around and you've got to start going God's way. It's time that you start going God's way this morning. The Bible says, repent lest you perish. We will all day, if the Lord Jesus Christ does not come back to get us, we will all day in this room die. It's just a reality. Amen. And then it's the judgment day where we will stand before a holy God and He will ask you only one question. And that is, did you know my Son Jesus Christ as Lord and as Savior? He won't ask you, did you go to a Baptist church? He won't ask you if you went to a Bible study. He will ask you personally, did you know me? Because if you did, if you don't, He will say, depart from me, you workers of iniquity. I never knew you. And those are the most scariest words in the Bible. To stand before a holy God and Him say, I never, never knew you. Not only do you must repent, but you must place your trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. You must transfer your trust from yourself and this world into a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. And that's what Christ is asking you to do today. The Bible says, trust in the Lord with all of your heart. Lean not on your own understanding and how you think you can get to God. It's not about good works. It's not about a religion. It's about a relationship with Jesus Christ. Lean not on your own understanding, but in all your ways, acknowledge Him by confessing Him as Lord and Savior, and He will make your path straight. Would you bow your head with me? In just a few seconds, we're going to stand, and this is our time to respond back to God, what God is asking us today. And this morning, God may be asking you to give your life to Him. There are going to be ministers that are going to be standing at the front. And if God is calling you to accept Him as Lord and Savior, I'm going to ask you to do one of the most bravest things, and I'm going to ask you to step out of your seat, and I'm going to ask you to come forward. And you may be thinking, well, why are you asking me to come forward in front of all these people? And it's because when Christ ever called someone out, He called them out publicly in front of a watching world. There's something about coming forward that shows accountability that you mean business with the Lord Jesus Christ. For some here this morning, you need to rededicate your life to the Lord Jesus Christ. You've been living so far away from the Lord and from what the Bible says. And you've been living a hypocritical life. And people can't even see Jesus in you this morning. And this morning you need to come and you need to maybe spend some time at this altar or pray with one of the ministers and say, I just need to come this morning and rededicate my life to the Lord. You may be here this morning and you've been coming and visiting this church and God has spoken to you this morning and He's telling you this is the place that He wants you to serve Him and worship with Him. You will find no other greatest church in Mesquite than this church right here. This church will love you. They will pray for you and they will walk alongside you as you walk the Christian life. For some here this morning, as I close, there may be some here that you just need prayer. You may be going through the cry of desperation and you just need someone to put their arm around you and just pray with you. Whatever it may be, you respond to what God is calling you to do this morning. Heavenly Father, we come before you and we give you praise. And Lord, I pray for those that need to make a decision to follow you, rededicate their life, or just come and join this church, or just needing prayer. I pray, Father, that you would move, that you would give us a courageous spirit. And Lord, I pray that if there's those here this morning that are afraid to come forward, that they would turn to the person to their right or to their left and just say, would you go with me? I need to make a decision for Christ this morning. Lord, I pray right now that you would have your way. You would have your will. In Jesus' name, amen.